Money can help or hinder us from traveling the world. Whether you're interested in finding creative ways to save for an upcoming trip, or how to stack up points and miles, or you're prioritizing building wealth through investing or entrepreneurship, the Thought Card Podcast by Danielle Desir Corbett is made for you. Approachable and informative, there are over 130 episodes to binge. Start with episode 102. All about defining your travel style and how your preferences impact spending, or episode 122, which explores a variety of financial goals you can pursue short term. For more, visit thoughtcard.com or type in the Thought Card in the search bar of your favorite podcast player. I made it around the world. Salutations and shit, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of your favorite travel podcast, Travel and Shit, where I, your host, D. Carey, have an experiential conversation about the nuanced ways that travel intersects with regular life. Y'all, I'm back from Mexico. Took me 3 tries, but I finally made it. So the first time I was supposed to go to Mexico, it was to be an extended layover after my trip to Peru. Unfortunately, I got delayed in Peru and I had maybe a 9-hour layover, and it was perfect because I was landing. I was supposed to arrive by 6 a.m. and my return flight may have been at I think it was almost 12 hours because I think I got there at 6 and I feel like my flight was at 8 o'clock at night or something like that. Long and short, got delayed, ended up only having, and that was flying into Mexico City. I ended up only having maybe 3 hours in Mexico City. So I ended up just staying in the airport, ate, and took my ass back to New York on the connecting flight. The second time I was supposed to go to Mexico, my partner and I had booked a beautiful week. I don't remember where we had booked ourselves to stay, but we were supposed to get back the day before his cousin's wedding. And there was no way we could miss that wedding. And that was still at the time, June of last year. This was still around the time when the United States still required you to have a negative COVID test to get back into the States. And neither one of us wanted to risk picking up COVID somewhere along our journey and not being able to get back home because there's no way we could miss Lauren Reggie's wedding. Woo woo, we were there. Congratulations again, guys. So yeah, we ended up not going that time. So this is the first time that I have been to Mexico. I've now officially been to all of the regions of North America. I've been to Canada. I live in the United States. And I've finally been to Mexico. So North American continent down. So excited. But I had a great time. However, not in the ways that I was expecting to have a great time. So just to start off, the feel I was going for the trip was really kind of like a beachy, relaxed kind of resort trip. Like I personally did not intend to do much. I really wanted to just pack some bikinis and some cutoffs and be on the beach every day. First of all, I overpacked because I am one of those people that wants to be prepared for anything that can happen. So I ended up bringing more outfits than were necessary because I knew that we were going to be joined by another couple, boyfriend's best friend. Hey, Mark. Hey, Nicole. They're getting married out in the area next year. So they were there to finish with some wedding planning, and this is only the second time that I've ever vacationed with another couple. This is like the extent of my group travel, y'all. So the first time was another one of my partner's best friends, Haywin and Fanny. We ended up doing Atlantic City for my birthday, either last summer or the summer before that. And that was a bomb trip, but it was right here. So we ended up just linking. We both drove separately to Atlantic City and met at the hotel. This was the first time that I've internationally done any type of traveling with anybody that wasn't the person that I was like sharing a bed with. Like I traveled with my mom, stay in the same exact room. I traveled with one of my best friends. We stayed in the exact same room. And my partner, right? This is the first time where we've had to have accommodations that include other people and have space for those types of, you know, for sharing, sharing communal space. So wasn't a big deal, but it also put in the back of my mind, well, what if they want to go to this type of restaurant? Or what if they decide that we should maybe visit this area? So I had more things on my mind in terms of what may happen, what could possibly come into fruition. So in my head, that meant more outfits. So definitely overpacked. But I'd rather have and not need versus need and not want. Still made it all into carry-ons. When I tell y'all the Patagonia black hole bag, still one of my favorite travel investments. I love my away bag. Them wheels be wheeling. I do appreciate them spinning ass wheels. That makes life so much easier. And the black hole duffel holds everything. Even when my shit isn't, and that's the only thing about that though, is that it tends to feel heavy, even if it's not completely packed just because of the distribution of the way things go. But in terms of being able to bring anything I can envision needing, chef's kiss, love it. So that was my initial intention with the trip. I wasn't trying to do too much of anything. And honestly, we only had 4 days. We flew in Monday and then we flew home on Thursday. Thankfully, our flight was early enough on Monday that we had mostly all of Monday to ourselves to kind of explore and do things. But we ended up getting delayed a little bit. So while we thought we'd be to our Airbnb by like noon, I don't think we actually got there until 2-3 o'clock. So it was a little bit late of a start to the day. We flew in, flew JetBlue. I personally love JetBlue. Flew in without incident, thank God. And we ended up deciding on, and mind you, we didn't plan how we were going to get from the airport to the Airbnb. We knew that it was roughly 45 minutes, give or take. And we figured we just figured out when we get there, right? We just take a taxi. Well, what I was not expecting was that there is kind of a group collective, if you will, of people that work in the Cancun airport. It was so sweet. I'm very New York when it comes to dismissing people. I don't even need to look you in your eyes and be like, no, I'm good, thanks. Like, I'm not getting got, right? But it was so cute because the young lady, they were, you know, their little jackets, little suits. And she was just like, you know, are you looking for like hotel, Airbnb? And I'm like, no, I'm good. She was like, no, I actually work at the airport. And she showed the ID. She's like, it's just our job to make sure that you guys are actually getting, you know, a taxi and not getting ripped off. And so it was just like, okay, turn it down. Hey, girl, what's going on? She's like, hi, how are you guys? And we're like, you know, we explained Airbnb, showed them the area. And so they basically explain to you the different options that you have to get to your destination, which was totally a surprise and very much appreciated. So this was right at the exit, like after you're passing the baggage claim and you're going towards like ground transportation, taxis, buses, and all that jazz. So the lady stopped us, spoke with us very kindly and briefly, and directed us to another gentleman. I want to say his name was Armando or something of the sort. Also very kind. They give you a map, break it down. This is where you are. This is where you're trying to go. If you take a taxi, it'll be this cost. You can also take this ADO, which is a bus. And the bus was only like $8 a person. He said, all right, well, you got maybe like 10, 20 minutes for the next bus. Directed us to the bus terminal. Bought the tickets, ran and got some cash, and we were on our way. I think we may have waited like 10 minutes. It was about a 5 minute walk to the bus terminal. It's really just a little bit of a take a few steps. Everybody was really helpful too, just in terms of stopping and just asking people, hi, how are you? Do you know where this is? Me hablo muy poquito español. My partner, way better. Shout out to him. Staff Puerto Rican. He's with the shits. Baby held us down. So we asked a few people where we headed. Boom, find the little space. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's like a terminal, but they're like a bunch of different parking spaces, if you will, of where the bus would turn in to pick us up. Thankfully, they're paying attention because the first one that pulled up, we thought was going to be our bus, but wasn't the case. That was going to a different one. The gentleman was like, this ain't you. Yours is coming next. Thanks. And we ended up taking the bus. It took us about an hour and 10 minutes. What was also really bomb was the gentleman that gave us the breakdown of, our options in terms of transportation. So scale it back for a second. Rewind. During that little presentation, they also kind of tried to pull you into doing, I guess it's akin to, you know how you go to a resort or like you go to the Poconos and they just say, we just need 60 minutes of your time to sit through a presentation about the timeshares, and you can totally say no. And so it was one of those things. There is, I don't know if all inclusive is the best way to put it, but there is a theme park, if you will, Xcaret. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but they've got a ton of different parks. They've got a ton of different like locations, pieces to the experience that is Xcaret, water parks. And basically it's them trying to get you to this destination, and they were going to comp like breakfast and a little kind of jazz, but I had plans on Wednesday and it was a lot. And it would have been nice to have the flexibility, except for we were there for such a short amount of time. It would have been nice to take them up on that, to be able to visit the park, because Mark and Nicole, who had joined us out there, they actually did get to go to Xcaret, and they said that it was absolutely incredible. It was gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. And it actually had a lot of like educational pieces to it, where you were able to learn a lot about Mayan culture and Mexico. And so I personally enjoy things of that nature. So in hindsight, I wish that we were able to go so that we could have had that part of the experience. But we got to be there for the wedding next year. So maybe we'll pencil that into it. But that was also given as, part of what was available to you in terms of what the area had to offer. But we ended up taking the ADO bus, and the gentleman thankfully let us know that for our return trip, that we would be best served if we took that ADO bus, or however we decided to get back to the airport, to please, please, please accommodate for the construction that is going on in the area. They're doing a ton of construction, so the traffic is nuts. So he definitely put us on. Thank you again for that. To make sure that we, were able to get to our home destination without any incident as smoothly as possible. So we knew from day one that we would be, putting in a little bit of extra time to make sure that we weren't going to be stressed. I do not like to be stressed in terms of situations where I know I have a limited amount of control. All I can control is my end of it, right? And when I know that the other end of it can be particularly frustrating or cumbersome or has a couple of loose ends and ways for things to go wrong, I'm for damn sure going to do my part to make sure that I am as stress-free as possible, because I make better decisions when I'm not stressed. So we ended up being able to take the ADO almost across the street from where we were staying. It ended up being perfect. Took us about an hour and a half. They had like a movie playing on the bus. The Secret Garden was playing. Yes, the version from our childhood, millennial girls. It was that one. The whole shit was in Spanish. And watching it in Spanish was kind of like, oh, damn, I'm remembering not as much of this as I thought I was, because I remember enjoying the movie as a kid. And so it kind of made me want to go back and watch it in English so that I could kind of see like, oh, shit, there was a couple of people of color in here. And I don't know why this didn't stand out as a kid. I don't know why I didn't remember any of them. So, you know, just a little footnote that every once in a while you're reminded of something that you would have thunk would have stuck out more and didn't, but whatever. I might go revisit that movie. Cute little ride, coach bus. It was clean. Can't say there was much. The drive there didn't have like the greatest scenery on the side we were on. And then all the curtains were drawn on the other windows. So I can't really say what was going on in other areas. But more so to like the other end, or the other side of the bus, I mean. So we ended up getting to our destination about an hour later, hour and 10 minutes most. And it was literally half a block around the corner and a block away. So we were 5 minutes from the bus terminal. And that 5 minutes made all of the difference. We were in the middle of the most tourist area I've ever stayed. It was giving Times Square in New York. However, thankfully, we were at the tail end of that. We stayed off of Fifth Avenue, which stores on stores on stores on stores. And by stores, I mean like Sunglasses Hut. I think Dick and Willie's is kind of like a Senor Frog's or like a, what's that other place? A Wet Willie's, where they just give you like the really sugary frozen margarita kind of drinks. Sunglass Hut, little shop boutiques, tourist little spots where you buy, you know, bags and magnets. So just shops on shops on shops. It's basically the cruise terminal, if you will. So all of it is there. And the street that we turned on led more to, I'd say, more artisanal shops, handmade leather bags. Like, that was the most of what I saw. And I'm a little bummed that I didn't get to purchase one. That was my plan. I already knew which one I kind of wanted. And I wanted to price out like the cost of a duffel, because them shits was hard. But I don't need another duffel. It's just they were so nice. But anyway, all that being the case, I didn't buy anything because I'll wait for another day. And another day never came at that point, it was more time constraints, right? So a little sad I didn't get to pick anything up. But again, I'll be out there next year. Where we stayed were more of the artisanal shops, a little quieter. It just wasn't as heavily populated. It was still a lot of people, but not that bad. And our Airbnb was right at the tail end of that before we got to, I don't remember what that side street was, but there were a bunch of other shops. It was 7-Eleven right on the corner. There's pharmacies everywhere. So anything you could possibly need was within reach. There was like a little spa down the end where they do manis, pedis, massages and stuff like that. So it was a really cute area, but it felt very commercial, very touristy. And I'm going to jump to it and just say that was the disappointing part about this trip, is I don't feel like I have any sense of what Mexico has to offer. That is personally my reason for not being a resort girl. I feel like a Marriott is a Marriott is a Marriott kind of wherever you go in the world. And that is why I prefer staying at Airbnbs. I want to stay in a home. I want to have some semblance or some idea of what it is like to live here as a local. I want to get the experience of this country outside of what I understand my own living experience to be. Now, that's not to say that I need things to be completely different from the way I live at home, because some things being the same are absolutely helpful. But in the sense of, I didn't come this far to basically stay in my own living room, or I didn't come this far to, you know, not experience anything new. So that part of it being a touristy area sucked. But on the upside, everything was right there. We were able to get there so easy from the airport. Anything we wanted was in reach, so it didn't feel as if we were at a disadvantage of any sort of need. It was the disadvantage in terms of, you know, cultural experience, but you make do, right? Now, our Airbnb was right on that block that had all of the artisanal shops, but thankfully it was with it. We felt like we were on a compound. So there was a gate that was, I guess, the front, the forefront, like the gate was the front door. And we were about, numbers, distance, I'd say maybe 500 feet from the street, I guess, if that makes sense. Okay, even better, I'd say we were 1, 2, maybe 3 car lengths from the street. I know, even more, probably 4. You could probably park 4 cars in the space between the front of the house and the street. And oddly enough, there was a restaurant immediately next door to where we were, and the entire body of the restaurant was within our gate. So the restaurant was technically on the property that we were staying on, except for the, there were no doors to, like, there's no back door. There was no side door. It was just all closed, all walls on our property. But the entrance of the restaurant was on the street, obviously, and accessible from, you know, from the street without having to go through our property. It's just the body of it was on, but like behind the gate where we were staying. But beautiful accommodations, super nice, had a private pool in the back. It just was near like a bunch of other plants and trees, and we couldn't find like that skimmer thing to clean, you know, the top of the pool off. So I personally didn't want to get in. I'm not a fan of pools, really. I kind of feel like they're public bathtubs, if you ask me. It's just me in my head. And otherwise, I'd have loved to have gotten into the private pool, but it didn't consistently run. So I had second guesses about its cleanliness and what could have blown in, what kind of bugs and bacteria. I don't know. I am a very delicate and sensitive flora and fauna, so I don't be trying to fuck shit up, right? So property was nice, got there easily. The bus was about $8 per person, took us about an hour and 10 minutes to get there from, and we flew into Cancun. So we flew into Cancun and we were staying in Playa del Carmen. That was the only day that it was just my partner and I, and I was very committed to being able to explore and experience a nice quiet day for just us. So I'm very glad that even though we were tired as fuck, because neither one of us went to bed the night prior, we kind of were just up from 7 o'clock the day before, and we just kind of powered through. We each took like a 30-minute nap between, I don't know, 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning when we had to head out, between packing and cleaning and just getting the home in order so that we could leave. So we were fucking tired. I know I slept on the plane, but a bitch was tired, but I was also hangry. It had gotten to that point where now I'm getting cranky and it's like, we gotta fucking eat. We dropped off our stuff and we found a restaurant that was about 10 minutes from us. We ended up going towards the more quiet side that wasn't as touristy. We walked to a spot and got tacos, and I was very pleased with the drink. The drinks were great. Service was nice. The food was good and enjoyed the food. I got pretty full pretty quick. And then we headed back to the Airbnb, and there was no way that I was not going to get my ass on the beach. So changed up, got into our bathing suits, and we took the walk down to the beach. Now, we were maybe a 5-minute walk from the beach, but baby, it was not the beach for me. Again, touristy. It was packed. There was a beautiful, like, arch of, like, I guess an iron mermaids or copper. What? Because they were kind of like that kind of greenish kind of color. It was pretty, but it was packed because, again, it's like it felt like a like the cruise drop off. Right. So you've got people all walking along, going to the shops and the stores. And then you've got the beach down here, and the beach was maybe 2 parked cars length. So between the shore, like where the water is, to like the end of the beach. Maybe 3 parked cars. It's a very narrow beach. So it was fucking packed. There's volleyball games going on and people everywhere, kids everywhere. So we're starting to kind of head down the beach, and it's just like, it's too much going on, and walking on the beach in sandals was just like, let's go back to the actual pavement. We'll get that way. So we ended up walking back down to we went back to the side street and started walking up that. And we walked for a bit, hoping to kind of find a gap or a little bit of quiet on the beach. We found the quiet, but it wasn't like, again, the beach was very narrow. At this point, maybe 2 parked cars could fit between the water and the back of us, which was actually a hotel with a cute little pool, a little bit of walkway, beach, ocean. So I know personally, if I were staying at that hotel, I'd have been pissed that the beach wasn't private access, and that everybody, like all of the public and everybody that anybody that wanted to be there was going to be on that beach. And then like the hotel pool is maybe like 25, 50 feet from the beach with all the public. So we weren't staying there, but that's just an assessment for me. If you are staying at a hotel in that kind of area on that strip, if that matters to you, mental note it. But we ended up just kicking it on the beach. We had picked up some beers on the walk back from the taco spot and from the 7-Eleven. And I was very pleased that we ended up getting, I think, 6 or 8 beers. We kind of did like a mix and match, just wanting to try different beers. I love beer. I really enjoy trying local beers. And we did a couple of beers from, we grabbed a couple of beers and brought them down with us to the beach. So we sat, had some beers on the beach, enjoyed a little bit of sun. By this point, thankfully, the sun had gone down. So not gone down, but had, it wasn't peak sun. So it wasn't that fucking hot. The water was comfortable. And we just sat around till like we kind of dried up and then headed back because it was starting to get cold. Overall, like it was 86, 90 degrees during the day and beautiful. But then, you know, it got a little bit chilly. That breeze was beautiful, delicious breeze. But when you're in a bikini and a net kind of dress, cover over, what do you call those? Coverall, beach cover. It wasn't really blocking much wind. So I ended up throwing my t-shirt on top of that. And then we just headed back to the walk to the Airbnb. Along that walk, we ended up popping into a tequila spot because we were supposed to buy a bottle of tequila to kind of have with us so that we could make drinks at the house and, you know, just cool out, chill, and enjoy the property. And we ended up having the absolute best tequila tasting. Baby, when I tell you, I just have really expensive taste. It is what it is. Because of course, and mind you, that's part of why they cost so much is because they are more refined and more enriching, if you will. But I, of course, liked the $250 bottle of tequila the most. And then, and we tried maybe eight bottles of tequila. He gave us a tasting of like eight different bottles. Like he even like, shout out to Aaron, such a great, and knowledgeable. I want to say host, because it felt like an event, if you will, but it wasn't. Like we just popped into a store along that super touristy stretch. But lesson, it may not look like what you think it is, but you can find value in a lot of things that don't necessarily hold the type of value you kind of see it for, if that makes sense. Like for me, I see value in community owned, very local led and low key experiences, right? Those are very enriching to me. However, this was very contradictory to what I look for. This was in a very touristy area, very rah, 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 but I was able to get the type of experience that I would have traditionally thought to have found in quieter and smaller spaces. So while it wasn't what I was expecting, it was what I wanted. And that was a really nice experience. And it was also kind of reassuring that things may not always look the way you expect, or they may not always present themselves in the format that you are expecting or looking for. But Aaron was an incredible host, because it did really feel like an experience. And he comped like all of we did not even have to pay. Everything was free. And so we bought a bottle. I absolutely bought a bottle. It was like a $75 bottle of tequila. He was giving us a little bit of the history in terms of like what can be produced where. There are, I think, maybe 5 or 9 different states that can actively produce tequila. It's kind of like champagne. It's only champagne if it comes from Champagne, and it's only tequila if it comes from these particular regions and states in Mexico. So that all being the case, there was one in particular, I think something with an I. Where did I write it down? Let's see. Tequila with Aaron. Insolente Resposado. That shit, my God. It's aged 6 months, then 8 months. First in an American white oak, then charred American white oak. That shit was so fucking good. And it's usually $25 for a tasting. He ain't charged us for the tasting. That is like wedding gift bottle. So if you ever want to buy me a really expensive bottle of alcohol, please let it be Insolente Resposado. The absolute best tequila I've ever tasted. And that shit was all straight. I don't drink anything straight. I'm not a straight girl. I'm not a straight girl, but I'm not a straight girl. I have to have my shit chased. I need a little bit of ginger ale or a little, you know, something to take the bite off, but sipped all of these room temperature also. Nothing was chilled. It was just from the bottle. Very good. Another one that I enjoyed. Ooh, no. So it was, yeah, Insolente was my favorite. That was the $250 bottle. But there was a $350 bottle, Alber. That one, I think, was the one that is usually like $25 for a tasting. But he held us down and let us taste that one. That is aged 9 years in 3 different barrels. I don't think that I loved that one, but I don't think I disliked that one. But then there was Owen Extra Añejo. That one was aged 5 years in 1 barrel. Y'all, I'm a tequila girl now. I like tequilas. So that was a really, really nice experience that we were able to have, and didn't expect it to either. It was really, really happenstance. We kind of just, because there are people shouting out you that whole strip. Hey, my friend. Hey, amigo. Come on in. You want this? Or we have this happy hour. Or, you know, people trying to sell you whatever kind of Mexican weed they think they got out there. Like, everybody is throwing all kinds of things at you. And it's just, on the one hand, it's just like, oh, I feel kind of rude just like ignoring people. But at the same time, it's just like there are 13 people yelling at me at one time. I can't answer them all. So you kind of just walk through with like a little soft kind of, I'm ignoring you, but I don't want to be mean to you kind of face. So I ended up buying a bottle of tequila. I don't remember the name of it. I see the bottle in my mind. $75 bottle of tequila. And I said this was going to be our special occasion tequila, that we were going to invite our parents over and be like, here, we got some good drink. We got good shit in the house now. Y'all can have a little. But goofy me didn't consider this ain't a 3 millimeter, 3 ounce bottle, girl. You're either going to have to check this or ship it to you. So I have some homegirls that are living out there, and I was talking to Missy. Hey, Marissa. Who's also a guest on the show. We've got some other things working for you. Like, we're going to have another really dope episode together. But she said, girl, just check your bag. I don't think DHL will ship liquids. So your best option is to check the bag. And for a few hours, I thought that's what I was going to do. And we ended up just opening the bottle. But unfortunately, we should have opened it on Monday after we got it. But it didn't click in my mind that we would have to get it back home somehow until Tuesday. So we ended up going to sleep, had the bottle, thinking that we were going to bring it home and be fancy and cute. Oh, I got this in Mexico. That ain't what happened. So anyway, Tuesday, our friends got in. Mark and Nicole met us there. And we had a excursion booked for that day. So we headed out pretty early. And we booked a bike ride with 3 cenotes in Chimayul. And it is a really, really small community. It's about, I think he said it's like 5 blocks this way and 5 blocks that way. There's like 1,000 people that live in the town. It was about 25 minutes or so from Playa. We took a taxi out there. I think the taxi ran us like $40. So it wasn't too bad. And I haven't ridden a bike in easily 10 years. So this was a challenge, right? And I was very worried about this from jump. Like, even in booking it, I'm like, now, girl. Can you do this? I was worried that we'd be riding like against traffic. And that's really what it was. I knew I could pick up riding a bike again, right? I knew I'd be able to figure out the mechanics of it all. But it was, for me, can I navigate wobbling on a bike and trying not to get hit by a car? That's what I was worried about. But thankfully, small town. So we didn't really have to worry about that. None of the bike riding that we were really doing was on, there weren't any like main roads or anything that we were in. And thankfully, where we rode our bikes was more on a secluded path. So it was particularly for bikes walking. And there were some cars on there, but they were few and far between. So it was perfect setting. Couldn't be happier. Beautiful day, 86 degrees, bright sun. Only downside was because we were going to cenotes, which are natural and freshwater, we were requested not to wear sunscreen. So, excuse me. The big thing was the no reapplying sunscreen. We put sunscreen on in the morning so that when we left the Airbnb, we knew we had that taxi ride that was going to take us maybe 30 minutes or so, maybe 45 minutes to get down to the town, and then the whole bike riding. So we knew we had longer than an hour between application to actual first cenote. So we did put sunscreen on. My partner is mixed. His dad is white. His mom is Black Puerto Rican. So he's going to fucking burn. So I made sure to put some sunscreen on him. But if you guys are going to do this, mental note, if you tend to burn or if you want to minimize sun or skin damage and sun exposure, t-shirt. That's where he fucked up. He wore a tank top instead of a t-shirt. And so, of course, he's got like the tank top burn. So it's like that half moon at the base of his neck and the shoulders that got burned. And we could have avoided that had he worn a t-shirt. But live and learn. It wasn't too bad. The first cenote. So cenotes are like natural spring waters, and they were very important to the Mayan culture. Sacrifices were done. in different locations. And that was as it was explained to us through our incredible host, Jose. Couldn't recommend the kid enough. They were really laid back. He was really sociable and personable, made us feel super comfortable. The first cenote that we went to was somewhat in a cave. Little risky. Definitely bring water shoes. I don't play. I have my water shoes. So rocks everywhere. And I would suggest also goggles. So they had the masks, the snorkeling mask for us, but I don't do well with things like on my nose or whatever. So it's like, even though it was weird, y'all, I'm not even going to try to explain it. I feel like I would have been better off if my nose were unobstructed and my eyes were just covered so that I can see more clearly underwater. Because if you open your eyes underwater, like, you can see, but it's just not, it's blurry. But with the goggles or with the face mask on, you can see so clearly. Everything is beautiful. But there are rocks everywhere. So trying to swim is hard to gauge how far you are from the rocks. So it's very easy to get banged up and cut up. And I'm a person that experiences anxiety. So I spent a lot of time in my head being particularly very careful about not wanting to get scratched up or banged up on any of these rocks, because I knew this was the beginning of the day. I don't think I brought my Neosporin with me, because I remember taking it out of my travel bag to use in the house like months ago, and I don't think that I put it back. Long of the short, I was being very particular, and I'm also, the water's cold. It's natural water. It's not, and it's in a cave again. So we didn't have the sun beating on us, but it was in a beautiful like jungle setting. Like, so we had to walk by hike, I mean, it was like a 3-minute walk. It really wasn't anything too intensive or extensive, but we walked off of the main path down to where the cenote was. Beautiful. And there was, and we almost had footage. I was too scared to do it. So you had to swim down under the rock, and then you would come up on the other side in an air pocket, and you could see like the beautiful untouched and unobstructed, just beautiful limestone. There were fossils back there and all that jazz. But I, for some reason, could not get myself to submerge. Like, anytime I would try to go underwater to kind of gauge how far it would be, like, I would go under so that I could see what they were talking about, so I could see other people doing it. And I said, okay, that is something that I should be able to do. Boyfriend did it, and he was like, babe, you can totally do it. I get if you don't want to, but it's fine. You just have to go down the water, watch your head, come up on the other side. Long of the short, I ended up not doing it. He did it. Thought he was recording with the GoPro. Didn't get the footage. But that's my one regret from the trip, that I didn't push through that fear and experience what was on the other side. But that was just the first cenote, and I thought that I'd have more opportunities to do it at another one. So that if you do go on this, and I highly recommend you do, but if you do take this particular Airbnb experience, push through the fear and do it. Because that's really the only opportunity to try the, I think it's, what did he consider it like? I don't remember what he called it, but that's the one air pocket. That's what it was, the one air pocket. But it was really nice. He sat and talked to us about the history of the cenotes and, you know, human sacrifices and Mayan religion and culture and shit. So that was really cool. Then we packed it up, went to the next cenote, which was also in a cave, but a cave with bats. This one was really cool. The water was a bit more shallow. So this one, there was not a lot of swimming, really. There were certain little pockets where you could go if you did want to do a little bit more swimming, if you will. But in this one, I kind of just popped up on a rock and kind of just sat and just pulled in the energy and the ambiance of it all. It was a good time. And the third cenote, mind you, we ride the bike to all the different cenotes. The third one was privately owned. So they had us remove all plastics from our bags, leave them in the bike. And what was also cool was there was a second person that was with us that stayed with our belongings. So on the first stop, we left our, like, you take whatever is like, immediately important to you. Like if you want to bring your phone to take pictures and stuff like that, you can bring that. But for the most part, you're encouraged to kind of like leave all of that in your bag, and you leave your bag in the basket on your bike. And somebody stays back and watches all this stuff so that you can go explore and all that jazz. So I'd left my phone and, you know, my money and stuff in my bag and left that on the bike with the other guy and just bought my GoPro to the water. The third one we had gotten to, it's privately owned. So they asked that you take out all plastics and stuff and you leave that in the bike, and then you can bring your bag with you. And there's someplace, you know, closer to where you're actively swimming and being in the water that you can leave your bags and stuff. So the third one was the cenote that had the opportunity to jump off the, there's like a deck that's built out so that you can jump. And there are two different platforms. They're basically the same height. I'd say they're about 12 feet up. Baby, yes, I was scared to jump, but I pulled through and did it anyway. Watched a couple people go first. You never want to go first, second, or last. And boyfriend jumped in. Our friend Mark jumped in. And then I was just like, okay, I'm going to be fine. I've jumped from higher. I've been more scared of things. And I did it scared. And it's always a good feeling to accomplish something that you were afraid to do. Jumped in beautiful water. This was fun for underwater photography, but again, like it was hard to, there's no salt water. So staying afloat was a bit more difficult in the fresh water. I'm by no means an Olympic swimmer. I can swim, I can tread water. I'm just not great at it. So it's just a lot of fucking work. So, you know, you're doing the whole, you're doing your thing to tread water. And I'm trying to do that and put the goggles on, and it just wasn't easy for me. So I'm trying to do all of this to go underwater, to be able to see more clearly. And it's just, it works when it works. It didn't work when it didn't work. We just ended up just do the best you can to have a good fucking time. And we did. And we tried to get some content. I'm definitely going to get that cleaned up, get some shit up on the socials. It'll definitely also be on the website, travelingshitpodcast.com, so that you can see me look really cute underwater until I pop up and it's, I'm okay. I'm fine. Trying to breathe, trying to cough out all the water that I'm swallowing, the water that's getting up in my nose. So it's, yeah, you could be cute sometimes, and then other times a bitch just wants to live, right? So it was fun. It was a good time. I would highly recommend the tour. It was, I want to say it was not expensive at all. I think it was like $35 a person. Yeah, it was like $35 a person for about 4 hours of water swimming. Beautiful. They weren't too busy. Like there was always like either a group ahead of us or a group right after us, but the groups were relatively small. So it was, there was a total of, I'd say four of us, four, five, six, seven, eight. There were nine people in our group. Shout out to, I think it was Max and Waverly. There were another couple from Cleveland. They were very kind. So them and then some three people from like Spain, Argentina or some shit. They didn't speak, so fuck them. But it was the nine of us on our tour, and every once in a while we'd run into other groups of like four or six, but it wasn't ever too like congested or anything. And these seemed to be really off the beaten path, kind of, you know, reserved for people in the know kind of cenotes, where it wasn't like, you know, a big everybody's there kind of thing. Now, the last one, we did end up running into a group of maybe like 15 people came like right after we were there, but it was also a much larger space. So we were able to, you know, enjoy swimming around and kind of, you know, you bumped into people, and it was a bunch of kids, but it was really nice to see them babies just jump in carefree. Like you could tell some of them were scared, and then you could see like the littlest ones were just like, fuck it, I'm jumping in, I don't need a swimming vest, fuck this. And just general, just like, go ahead, baby. I love seeing the kids just be kids and be fearless and just do things when they're scared. And it was, because now as the adult, you relate more with the parents, like, okay, but I'd feel more, I'd feel so much better if you had your vest on, June. Okay, this isn't the place, baby. Put the vest on. And all these, it was nice. So definitely enjoyed the bike ride with the cenote tour. Highly recommend. There'll be a link for that in the show notes on the website, travelshippodcast.com. Just scroll to this episode and all those details and the links will be there for you. That was Tuesday. Oh, so after we did the bike ride with the cenotes, we were in Chemayul, which was about 25 minutes from Playa and about 15, 20 minutes from Tulum. So we ended up taking what is considered a colectivo. And if you're from New York, it's a fucking dollar van. So we took the dollar van to Tulum. It was, I think, like 200. No, it was, I think, 168 Mexican pesos for four of us. So whatever that conversion is, it was probably like $2 a person or something to get to Tulum. We ended up in downtown Tulum and then we took a taxi to the beach zone and we ended up going to Rosa Negra Beach Club. And so we had to pay for beach access to like the pool and the beach and to get food and all that other kind of stuff. But we had we had to pay to get onto the resort. It's like a day pass, if you will. So we paid for that. Shout out to Mark, who held us down. Mark got us in, and then we just hung out, lounged at the beach, and it was one of those kind of spots where, like, there are some girls whose whole job is to just be pretty. So, like, we ended up getting cabanas, like, right at the end of the beach where we were the first set of cabanas and then it was beach. Tons of seaweed, but it didn't really matter. It's still a pretty beach. And we sat in those first cabanas and the girls come out with like the name of the resort on like a big placard. And they just walk down there and smile and they just stand in front of you and you're like, we didn't pay for this. What is this? Like, what the fuck are they doing? And they're literally being pretty. They just stand there. And then she holds up the big beach, like the resort name. And then like on cue, like they all turn around together and now their backs are to you. And it's just like, what the fuck are they doing? And it's just like, no, like they're literally just being pretty. And then they walk off and it's just, okay. Long as you don't charge extra for that, fuck it. Do what y'all gotta do. I mean, shit. Your job is to be pretty, sis. Go off. Get your bread. I'm with the shits. So that was cool. Ordered some food. Drinks were really good. We ended up splitting like a huge fish that was, so it was pre-cooked. But they basically finish it off on like a racket. So the racket is just like a mobile grill, if you will. So it's like grill on one side, grill on the side. You put the fish in the middle and then they char it. And then they put like tapenade and spices and all that shit. And then did the little salt bay salt thing. Again, we took really great video. We'll get that up. But that shit was so damn good. There's like, it came with like a cheese bread. It was, I think it was it Gruyere? And then like Parmesan cheese on the top. I don't know, but it was like some kind of cheesy bread, different sauces to dip it in. They do the whole pour in the water for you. It was really, really, you know, ritzy kind of cute shit. Enjoyed it. Good time. We ended up having to take we couldn't find a colectivo in that space, so we had to take a taxi. One thing that I gotta say about Tulum is while it was a nice experience, I don't think I really got to get a feel for Tulum the same way people that come back and say, oh my God, Tulum was such a vibe. I didn't really feel like I got to experience that. Where we were, the beach area, and again, this is why I'm very much against doing resorts. For some things, resorts are bomb, right? The right resort, the resort for the things that you want, I'm certain exists because it just has to, right? There are too many people with great ideas in the world and really creative plans that it hasn't happened. I have just not been that girl to be able to find that fine line, nor do I have the resources to be able to pay up for the really expensive ones that may have kind of that balance that I might be looking for. So while everything was very aesthetically pleasing, it's like on the outside, it's just like storefront. It, like where we were, it was just a ton of storefronts, no sidewalks really. Just dense, yet very architecturally pleasing, aesthetically pleasing, easy on the eyes. So many different stores like really smelled really nice. But I really don't feel like I got to really experience Tulum in the way that all of the good vibes and all of the really great reviews and experiences that people are talking about got to experience it. But again, that was the little pocket that I was in. It was nice. It was pretty. But again, I'm an experienced kind of girl. I want to feel what it is as opposed to see what it is. So it was nice to see, but I'm still waiting on that feeling. So I'll give that a try again. But it was good. We ended up taking a taxi from that beach zone back to downtown Tulum, took a colectivo. Again, it was like 200 pesos for all four of us to get back to Playa del Carmen. We got dropped off at like a local, drop off point. And then we walked back to the Airbnb, which was like maybe a 15 minute walk. So, and it was also nice to see the neighborhood that we were staying in, but from the opposite side, from the side that wasn't the very touristy, all that shit going on. This was the side where the locals, this is where, you know, people live. This is where, you know, people dropped off their shit to the laundromat. So, and then you could see like the businesses on some of the side streets. It was nice to get a more realistic view of what the neighborhood looked like. So that was nice. Walked through all of that, got back and went the fuck to sleep because swimming and bike riding all day was a chore. Next day, I had plans to link up with my homegirl, but unfortunately, life happens. And that's one of the things that I want to remind people about linking with friends and family, like when traveling. I am very cognizant and aware that I am on vacation. You are not. So if something comes up or if plans change, I'm the one that is going to be the most flexible because I really don't got shit to do. I don't have any responsibilities in this immediate realm. The person that I am visiting or the person that I'm trying to connect with when they are in their home space, that's where the grace belongs. So if you are going someplace to visit and you know people that live there, or if you got family in a certain area and you're going to check them while you're on vacation, please, please, please keep in mind that they are living their regular lives. And like, that is their normal, right? Things have to flow in a way that, okay, I got shit to do tomorrow also, or these are my responsibilities. This has to get done. Give people grace. So yes, I was disappointed that I didn't get to hang out with my homegirl. But at the same time, I'm just like, I'd be more disappointed if she overextended herself and we didn't enjoy ourselves because she wasn't in the space or didn't have the luxury of the free time the way that we would have been able to enjoy ourselves. So opportunity missed, but no love lost. And I think that it was a good reminder of just giving your friends grace and giving people that you care about that space to say, no girl, I don't care just when it's convenient for me. I care because I care. And if I care, like this is part of the caring, right? So we ended up going for breakfast. There is a restaurant immediately next to the Airbnb that we stayed at. Great service. The woman was so sweet. We ended up getting really good food, had a nice breakfast, and then we walked right next door. This is the restaurant that I told you was like technically on the property that we were staying in, but because there were no doors or anything, it kind of wasn't. So we ended up going right next door, locked the gate behind us. We went inside and just kicked it. We were just talking because we had made plans to meet up with my homegirl, Marissa, who is working on doing food tours out there. And that is one thing that I'm really, really going to try to do the next time we go out there. I really want to take her food tour. I'm going to get that information for you guys and put that also in the show notes so that if you are in the area, you can link up with my homegirl if you're out there and take her food tour. But we ended up just going back to the Airbnb, kicking it because we were going to wait and link up in the afternoon. But y'all, it actually ended up being for the best because it was fucking hot. Like, sun beaming down on you, hot, just walking. Like, we walked up a little bit here and there. This is the window where I should have been looking at the shops on the street and buying whatever I was going to buy. But in my head, it was just like, okay, we're just pushing the time out. And we kept pushing the time out until it got to the point where it's just like, no, I actually can't get away from what I'm doing right now. There's a lot of things going on. Unfortunately, maybe I'll try to catch you for dinner kind of thing, right? So in all that time, we was just vibing. We ended up moving the party outside. We had cigars. We ended up just cracking that bottle of tequila because by that point, I had realized, girl, you're not checking your luggage. Drink the alcohol. So that fancy ass tequila, we ended up drinking it in a day. And by we ended up drinking it in a day, my partner is, he's the one that did all the damage. But we all had a really good time. We just talked. We had fun just being in community with each other, people watching the people walk past the property. That night we ended up making plans for dinner. And we, let's see what my notes say. Oh yeah, we broke out the hammock. We couldn't do the beach even after we realized that the plans were going to be like shifted to dinner to link up with my friends. We couldn't do the beach because boyfriend had already gotten sunburned. And so it was kind of like, all right, it is really hot. I already know this beach is fucking packed with all the tourists. So I didn't really want to, what's the point in going on a vacation with your partner and not hanging out with your partner? For some people, that works. You can stay home and do this and I'll go out and do that. But I like spending time with my shorty. So it was just like, all right, babe, well, if you're not in the space to be able to go, then I'm not going to go either. So we all hung out until it's time for dinner. We had plans for 8 o'clock to go to, I want to say the name, I wrote it down, Almeida Corazon, excuse me. That's where we were supposed to have dinner. There's an actual cenote, like it's built on a cenote. So really bomb restaurant. Like those were the vibes that I was expecting in Tulum because it's all dense greenery. It's, and we went for dinner service. So it was dark and it was gorgeous, 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 gorgeous. But I'd had a taste for oysters for like the entire week and we're passing by all these places. And every once in a while I would see somewhere that had a raw bar. So what we did first was we went down to the resort where Mark and Nicole are going to get married. We did a quick little tour of that. And on the way back, it was thank you to my partner who I was just like, babe, oh, I wish we could have gotten some oysters. I really want. He was like, and you can, like, if you want oysters, even if we don't go with them, I will get you your oysters. I will make sure you get what you want. Like, just don't worry about it. Just speak up. We'll do it. And so, thanks, babe. I ended up really just being like, okay, here's another place that has raw oysters. I mean, has a raw bar. Let's go there. Mind you, we're in the middle of, to me, Little Times Square. There's like this huge mall to the right and it's all these bright lights and shops and restaurants and stores. And I'm just like, all right, whatever, this place has it. Let's go up there. When I tell you we got upstairs, Harry's Bar and Grill, I want to say, I was a little worried that we weren't going to be able to get in because it was giving real, like, you need a jacket to come in. But it turns out everybody was mad laid back and chill. I mean, we looked cute. Like, I had a cute little little Amazon set. It was super cute. Nicole had a cute little dress on. The guys had like shirts and, you know, t-shirts and jeans on. So it was giving and it was giving and it was giving opulence. And I really just wanted oysters. And we had just a little bit of time. We had maybe like 45 minutes to kill before we made dinner reservations. We just said we was going to be back at 8. So it was about 7:15, 7:30. And I just want to, you know, sit at the bar and get an order of oysters. Mark and Nicole were just like, we're just going to have a drink and, you know, not kill our appetites. Well, baby, let me tell you, first of all, infused water. So the little coasters, like, you know how they put a napkin down? They were squares of cloth. They were cloth squares that were the coasters for the water. So we put down the little the pocket square for the water and then poured the water. And everybody's like, I love when they wear like the really nice aprons in terms of the wait staff and stuff. So they did have the aprons on, super cute to me. Water. And then he pulls out the tray of fruit and he's just like, what would you like? And I'm like, pineapple, please. So he puts the pineapple in the water. Cool. So we've got infused water. Bitch, bacon. They give you like a bacon tower. Like there's like a little square and it's got slots in the top and they stick perfectly crisp bacon strips in like three different. So they bring out this complimentary fucking bacon. Bacon is always better than pretzels and peanuts at a bar, right? Give me bacon. So the bacon is delicious. So we're eating the bacon and we're like, bitch, there's fucking bacon at the bar. This was gorgeous. I ordered the oysters. Mark and Nicole ordered their drink. And I'm just like, all right, I'm not really trying to, you know, pack on all of my, you know, spending in one spot. We still have dinner at the next spot. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to do the water. I love just water with my oysters anyway. So water. I'm surprised. And then they bring out the bread. So now there's a bread spread with the different dips and stuff like that. So, okay, even more food. And bitch, there's more bacon. After we finish that first round, the bacon keeps coming until your meal comes. Like the bacon keeps coming. I love bacon, if you can't tell. So then they bring my oysters out. I'd only gotten like a half a dozen oysters because they were just going to be for me and I didn't want to fill up. So I'm just like, dinner's later. This is my appetite, right? This is my appetizer. So brings out the oysters. Bitch, there's a whole presentation. Apparently these shits is on like a dry ice bed underneath, but like on like a, what is it? Like a lazy, it's like a really high-end Lazy Susan or something. Again, I'll post some videos to the social media on this one subsequently. But like, so they pour the water into like the dish because I want to say the tray is inside the dish on top of the dry ice because now there's like all of the steam coming out over the oysters and it looks super cool and they bring it out and now it's in front of you and then and he's explaining which ones are which and then he pours it again and it's just oh, the sexy little steam and ooh. And the oysters were good and the little dressings to go on the oysters. It wasn't just your original cocktail sauce. It was like there was really fresh herbs and I could taste like the cilantro and 12 out of 10, highly recommend. First of all, ooh, I forgot to mention, shout out to Carmen. She was the hostess and I want to say maybe a manager as well or so. But she was so fucking kind at that front door, so nice, like just started the experience off so well. And I will always stand by when I tell people, if my hostess is nasty, I don't give a fuck how good the food is. I will not enjoy my meal. I will not enjoy my experience. I take that front of house, that initial experience, so very serious, like so very highly. I work in customer service. Kind of like every job that I've ever had has had some aspect of customer service. So I extend that to people when I work and I expect that back. When in terms of having a high-end experience, customer service is really what is going to distinguish that for me. And they did not disappoint. Absolutely every interaction with everybody there was exceptional. And so when things like that happen, it is in the best alignment when a manager just pops over and asks, how is your food? How are you enjoying everything? So I want to say this manager's name was Armand or something with an ARM and a D in it. But I explained to him that all of his staff was excellent. Everybody was great. The food was spectacular, was not expecting all the presentations and everything just also tasted really good from the bacon to the freaking oysters and the bread. So it was my absolute pleasure to report back with such high regard and high marks. And before you know it, like I'm expecting to be like, all right, well, let's get the bill so we can head to dinner. They bring out this complimentary tower of fucking cotton candy, y'all. Like there is a huge puff of cotton candy, but like on like this fancy thing that's got like the restaurant's name and like the front and on the back. I have had only one, I think, other, maybe two, one and a half. Okay, Miami was one of those experiences where when I tell y'all, like, the love and attention and just, like, extra oomph that was put into service and presentation and just making you feel like you're somebody in a location, that's only ever happened in Miami and in Mexico, in Playa del Carmen. The experience in Harry's was what television dreams are made of. Like, I felt like I was the celebrity I want to be in my head, because it's like, I don't ever want to be famous to the extent where I can't walk the streets without security, but I want those treatments where someone says, oh, I know you look like someone that deserves the best. And that's how I felt at Harry's. So when I tell you, I cannot say enough how much I loved my experience. I am so glad that we went, and I'm so glad that, you know, boyfriend gave me that reassuring, no, if you want something, then speak up and it gets to happen. And because I wanted oysters, we ended up having the best absolute experience. We're absolutely coming back next year, so look out for us, Carmen. I really feel like his name is Armand. And I feel like our server's name was Alex. So thank you to all of you guys for making this girl feel so appreciated and feeling like a mini celebrity in your establishment. I greatly enjoyed myself. I enjoyed your service and I enjoyed the food. But we'll be back next year, which we were trying to navigate, like, should we come in a day earlier so that we can make sure that we get to go? Maybe we'll carve out some time for lunch, even if we can't go, like, for the evening service because of different wedding responsibilities that we have that will have to, you know, be happening in the area. But cannot say how much we appreciated that experience. Harry's was a good time. And then afterwards, we walked maybe 50 feet away, give or take, and went to, I wrote down, Almeida Corazon for dinner. The cutest little stray cat found me. And this was the second stray cat that found us. The first stray cat found us at the cenote experience. He was a local little cat and came by, sat right on, like laid right on Justin's sandals as we ate like a little snack that they had prepared for us after that. But this tiny little black cat just sat and looked up at me, didn't disturb me, didn't bother me. And it was just the cutest thing, as if he read my energy and was just like, you seem like a really happy person. I just want to be by your energy. And so it was just like, oh, hola gato. Thank you. Don't touch me, but stay close, you know? So we just sat there and it just felt like we were visiting him in, or her, and we were visiting them in their little experience, as if that was the manager that came up and said, well, how is your meal? How is your service? So everything was beautiful at Almeida Corazon, but I can't say that I was like in love with the food. The food was just, eh. We ended up getting, the drinks were good. And I think Justin and I ended up actually splitting, because I tend to have a very small appetite. I can't really finish an entire meal. And we were leaving the next day, so having leftovers didn't really make sense to really put ourselves in that space to have that happen. So we ended up splitting it was a half a chicken. I'm not going to eat the whole half a chicken. And then all the sides. It was perfect. We ended up splitting that. Food wasn't bad. It was not bad at all. It just wasn't anything to write home about. I eat well at home, so I'm not exactly a fair barometer, because my partner is low-key a chef. Like, he's an incredible, incredible, incredible cook. And it is only reaffirmed. Like, I love when people come to our home and we can host so that they can taste this food, so that they can see that it's not just me. Like, yes, I'm biased, but because it's really good. So when we get to host and we have other people over and he cooks for them, it's just like, you see what I'm talking about? Now, am I being unrealistic when I say my man is a chef? You understand what I'm saying? So I enjoy that. And so I guess I'm not the best. I'm a little biased when it comes to eating out because I eat so well at home. When I go places, I expect to be wowed and amazed because my partner wows and amazes me on a regular. But that's me tooting my man's horn. Let's see. That was Wednesday. Dinner was great. And so Thursday, we ended up packing it up, trying to get home. And I will say, the mosquitoes fucked me up. I can't even count the number of mosquitoes I have. I've got well over 24. And I'm not even exaggerating because I had at least 20... I had at least 12 or 15 just on my back after the bike cenote on Tuesday. Tuesday, as my nana would say. Yeah, the mosquitoes out there are wild. But what I will say is I tend to swell after a mosquito bite. I tend to really not do well. These, for the most part, didn't swell. They stayed like normal people mosquito bites, if you will. Like just a little bite, it itches. But it doesn't swell and expand and knot up and stuff. So most of the mosquito bites have been all really tiny little bites. Thankfully, they didn't. Only maybe 4 or 6 of them have kind of swollen up a little bit, but not to the extent that they used to. Like as, and I'm not sure if that's just regionally where I was, these mosquito bites don't do that, or if it's just my body is changing as I'm getting older, my response and reaction thing, I don't fucking know. It's not what my degree was in, so I'm just going with the flow. Don't know what to tell you, but I will say that if mosquitoes fuck with you, they's fucking with you out here. It was rough. But they got the kid, but overall it wasn't the worst response to mosquito bites. So Thursday we attempted to take that ADO bus back to the airport. However, suggestion, buy your ticket the day before or hours before because there is a finite number of seats on the bus. Don't expect that you can just get there before the bus and get a seat. So and there were 4 of us trying to go there. We were boyfriend booked 2 tickets for them too, because Mark and Nicole were getting off in Cancun and we were taking it further out into, the airport was in Cancun. However, I think there was a different drop off for if you're staying in Cancun regionally, like in that region, or if you're going to the airport in Cancun. So he had bought those 4 tickets and we ended up not being able to board the bus because the 9:20 was sold out and the next one was until 10:15. We were under the impression that we were going to need that full 3 hours at the airport to check in terms of lines and stuff. But we had both checked in prior, so we didn't have to check in. We don't have any checked bags. And that's another reason why I refuse to check bags, because fewer steps. I don't want any reason for anything to take longer than it needs to. And I also just don't like not having full control of all my possessions. So we ended up not being able to take the ADO. We ended up taking a taxi, but it was more like one of the colectivos again. So it was kind of like a dollar van. It cost a little bit less. I think we ended up spending, like 200 pesos again? It was very inexpensive. I don't remember what it was, but we ended up just taking that back. It might have actually been $80 for the 4 of us. I think it was like $20 a person to get to the airport. Mark and Nicole ended up just coming to the airport with us and then took a taxi from the airport to whatever hotel they were staying at. We got dropped off right at our terminal to get to the airport. We didn't need the full 3 hours. Honestly, within 30 minutes, we were at our gate, and that's from drop off, gave everybody their hugs. Love y'all. See you later. Be safe. We bypassed all that check-in because we had checked in on the mobile app and we didn't have anything that needed to be checked. So we went straight to the gates. That line wasn't very long at all. We were through that in maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes. We ended up figuring out, you know, which way the airport is going, and we looked for someplace to eat. We ended up just stopping at, I'm about to say P.F. Chang's, not P.F. Chang, Wolfgang Puck. We ended up getting food there. And one thing that I am not regretful, but we didn't ask while we were there, and it kind of came to mind after the fact, what the gentleman, when we came in, that guy that I was telling you told us about our options in terms of taxi versus the ADO bus and about Excarid, and, you know, we can get you in for free. They basically said, hold on to your receipts, bring them back to the airport, and we'll give you that difference in tax. Like, it's a 16% tax on a lot of the purchases that you make, and that gets reimbursed to you when you come back to the airport if you bring it to whatever kiosk or desk that is that does that. Knew that I wanted to do that, saved all my receipts, just didn't think to ask where that desk was beforehand. And at that point, it was just like, I'm tired of walking. We're here. I'm really sleepy. I don't want to do anything but eat and then go wait at this gate. So we ended up missing out on getting all those receipts reimbursed. But I'm hoping that there's not too much of a definitive window in terms of when that can be finalized, because we'll be back out there in February. So hopefully that's not too far out and they will still be able to reimburse us from that trip also. But also not sweating it. It's not the end all be all. I don't feel like the trip was ruined because of it. So one of the things that I will say, on the return, thankfully, customs didn't take too long because it was super frustrating. So mobile passport is kind of the same thing as global entry. I have global entry. My partner doesn't. Unfortunately, that's one of the gifts that I've offered him for Christmas because it was more of a gift for me, because pre-check is necessary. I got tired of waiting on regular lines because he didn't have pre-check. So Merry Christmas. Gift for the both of us. However, I wanted to get him the global entry and pre-check, but from Christmas to when we were leaving for, I think, one of our next trips, we didn't have enough time to wait for the global entry appointment to kind of happen. And pre-check, we were able to get, I think he ended up getting an appointment that same week or something. We were able to get pre-check taken care of really quickly. That all came back. But global entry was looking like it was going to take weeks, if not a couple of months. So we opted to, we'll cross that when we get there. And we totally forgot about it when we got back. So did not have global entry. But what you can do is sign up for mobile passport, which is now, I want to say CBP is like Customs Border Patrol or Custom Border Patrol or something like that. It's basically the same thing. All you're doing is putting your traveler information, your passport number, you take a picture and you answer all those customs questions, the no, all of those things. It gets done mobile. And then when you come through customs, you go to where the line generally for global entry is. It's like global entry on one side and then mobile passport, CBP on the other side. You go basically just use the little kiosk. It takes the picture, you get the receipt, you bring it to the agent and you go about your business and you don't have to wait on the super long customs line. Well, the mobile entry was not uploading. I did everything. And now that we're back on the ground, I'm trying to upload and send it in. And it just kept not responding. There was no, I hate when things don't work. So I was very, very, very frustrated and angry about that. But pivot, right? What are you going to do? You still got to get home, right? Figure it out. So you just end up getting on the line for customs. So we got on the line, maybe 20 minutes, not too big of a deal, 30 minutes max, went through customs and we were on our way. Thankfully, we didn't have any checked bags, walked our asses right out and we got into, we were supposed to take a lift, boyfriend ordered the lift. And of course, this asshole just didn't answer his phone. He's calling, trying to figure out, yo, we're here. Where are you? You're saying you're here, but I don't see you. You're not answering any of the messages and phone kept going to the voicemail. That was a very annoying 10 minutes. We're trying to get in contact with this guy. If you're a Lyft driver or an Uber driver, have your fucking ringer on. What is the point in accepting a fare but not being able to communicate with your fare and then ignoring all the messages that they send you in app, right? So fuck them for that. I ended up just getting the Uber as he's trying to navigate that cancellation. That was a pain in the ass. But shout out to Mr. Mustafa, who ended up coming through, and he was very professional and called us and was just like, ooh, sorry, y'all. Very professional, called us and was just like, hey, I'm actually upstairs at arrivals. I'll come down. I mean, at departures, I'm going to come down to arrivals, or I'll be right there, or stand by the bus. I don't see you yet. You know what I mean? Like, we have the technology. Fucking use it. So we ended up just making it home. Happy to be home. But as a reflection, one of the things about this trip that I gotta say stood out the most to me was how reaffirming it was. It was not what I was expecting it to be. I went into it saying to myself, I just want to relax on the beach every day. It was too fucking hot for that. So that didn't happen except for like the one day, right? But what it reaffirmed for me is I'm right when I say I don't like resorts. I'm right when I say I don't like touristy areas. I was there. I didn't stay at a resort, but I was basically in the midst of where different hotels and resorts were, and I did not like it. It is not in alignment with the way that I like to travel. After those 3 days or so, I have no clue. I don't know anything more about Mexico than I did before I got there. And that's not how I like to leave a place. I think that you can absolutely enjoy and experience the feeling of a new place in a short amount of time. I don't think that I have to do 2 weeks in a destination to get a feel for what something is. I've been to places overnight. I was in Portland for one full day. And when I tell you I have a feel for Portland and I know places in Portland that I can go and get super really bomb fucking food, and I know where I'm going to go and ask questions if I need direction. For same thing with Detroit. Like, we weren't there long, but I feel like I have a sense of what that area is and what that space, what me in that space feels like. And I don't feel like I got that from Mexico, because the space that we were in was all very touristy. It all felt like I was just back home on like Fulton, or back in, Times Square. So it was a reaffirming trip in the sense that it did confirm for me that I do not like those touristy spaces. It was nice to have everything so close, but I think for the way that I like to travel, that's not that necessary. The thing that I do like to have always close at hand is transportation. That worked out nicely. It was nice that we had a 7-Eleven on the corner so we could get beers and snacks. But other than that, I wouldn't have minded if I would only be able to eat at restaurants that were in the area. So that in its sense was reaffirming that it was just like, yeah, I know what I like, and I've had it reconfirmed because I've stayed in something that wasn't what I was used to. The cenotes were beautiful. That was about as tropical as it got. That was about as authentic as it got. Chimayo was a beautiful little town. The bright colors of the buildings was nice. And just seeing people coming and going to work, you know, was reaffirming, especially as someone that lives in a tourist area. And it kind of reminded me, like, I get why some people love that kind of experience, because that's not what they're used to. They live in, you know, a four town community. I mean, not four town, a four light community. Like, my best friend lives in a pretty small town. So it's like they've got, you know, commerce and stores and shit to do, but it's like they don't have like a metropolitan hub. I live in New York City. I work in New York City. So for me, I don't enjoy vacationing to those places. But people that come from middle America, people that come from smaller towns or, you know, suburbs and areas where they don't have like high-end shopping or really fine dining experiences, and it's just not as easily accessible, I could see how when they travel, they want those experiences. I personally would prefer quiet, mundane, what do we eat on a regular Tuesday, because I came home from work. That's what I want to eat when I'm vacationing on a Tuesday with you, right? So those different experiences, those different viewpoints, the environment that you're coming from, your home environment, absolutely. Like, this was a kind of not like an aha moment, but it was just one of those, well, damn, that makes sense. I come from this, right? Like, I'm in the midst of this every day. So it makes sense why I don't enjoy it for my vacations. And so I'm, you know, I can continue to be as particular as I am in terms of making sure that while I would like to have it in back of mind, maybe know where that is if I need things in terms of accessibility. Should I need any type of medical attention or band-aids or, you know, cough medicine, whatever. Knowing where to get that shit, great. But I know for certain that when I'm vacationing, I want to stay someplace very different than what I'm used to living through. What else did I have on here? Harry's 12 out of 10, 15 out of 10. Couldn't recommend anymore. Also another kind of reminder or reaffirmation on this trip is boundaries and speaking up for yourself. So one of the things that stood out to me was on Wednesday, while we were kind of just kicking it and just, you know, enjoying our time together, like I wanted to go do something. And in hindsight, I'm kind of wishing that I would have kind of like excused myself from the group to just do that, to go do something. But at the same time, it's just like in the moment, everything still felt good. So knowing to what extent you're willing to ignore a want for a need, because honestly, that sun really was intense, and not wanting to burn on the walk or pass out from heat exhaustion on the walk was fair. And knowing that the beach wasn't what we would have wanted it to be, like we didn't have an umbrella or anything that we could have brought with us. It was a very, very busy beach. So it's not like we had the opportunity to kind of carve out our own little space and make it comfortable and, you know, relaxing for us. So, you know, knowing also if you're trapped, for me, in my experience, I know that if I'm traveling with other people, I'm going to need to do, I would prefer to do that when I have more time in a destination, because it's one thing to kind of take a surprise, quiet, lazy day where we don't do anything, or a day where plans don't go according to plan, or, you know, things get pivoted. You have to regroup and figure something else out, right? Because we had the day planned. Wednesday had plans, but the plans kind of fell apart. So it would have been better served for me to have that lazy day like we did if I had another day in the bag. I know from Mark and Nicole, it might have been perfect to have a lazy day, but they were there 3 days before us, and I think they have like another 3 days after us. So it was kind of like I felt like I was missing out. They were going to have the opportunity to do something another day, but I didn't. Like, that was my last day to do anything. So I think going forward, if I'm going to be traveling with other people, either my plans will be plans that don't necessarily revolve around anyone else being available or not available, so that I can make sure that I can commit to following through with getting the most out of using my time there. So that's a personal boundary that now I have in my mental headspace, so that I know, all right, you know what? Here's a tentative plan B, so that if this doesn't work, I still get to get out of the trip what I know I'm going to need. So if nothing else, that was absolutely a great learning experience for me. Knowing how long your trip is can kind of give you that flexibility or give you that ability to know what your leniency or your allowance for lazy time, kind of, you know, not really doing anything is going to be. So, I feel like lazy days are needed, but not at the expense of feeling as if you wasted time. So it's a balance, right? And I now know what that balance can look like for me. And while I don't regret any of the decisions we made on the trip, or, you know, choosing to stay or go or anything, because it all ended up being a great fucking trip, I really enjoyed spending time with Mark and Nicole, because they live in Texas, so I don't get to see them. We don't get to see them. And it made me even more excited for the wedding coming up. So we had a great time, but I now see where I would do things differently so that I can have like the time of my life for the next trip. So overall, my third time third try was the charm trip to Mexico. Was a great fucking time. I'm looking forward to the next trip to Mexico because I definitely, definitely, definitely want to see so much more of the country and get so more, many more experiences and get more Mexican fucking food in my belly. Because travel is so much more than vacation. And I'm looking forward to the next trip that will be the cultural immersion that I am looking for. I enjoyed spending time with friends. I enjoyed taking a beat and kind of relaxing. So while I didn't get that relax on the beach, I did get to relax with friends. And I'm so grateful for those opportunities. And I am looking forward to the next opportunity. And I'm hoping that you found something in the episode that will encourage you to step outside of your comfort zone and experience another environment. All right, guys. So tune in next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And don't forget that travelshippodcast.com. Check out this episode. Search out whatever episode number this is or the title that I put up for the episode. Whatever episode title you see for the podcast episode, wherever you're listening to this, you could also just search that title on travelshippodcast.com so that you can see the house tour. I'll also include the videos of me looking as if I am dying, reemerging from the cenote. They're really kind of cute videos, y'all. And so you can see them preparing the food for us at the beach resort in Tulum. I'm going to have a couple of nice videos up there for you. So travelshippodcast.com, just go to the search bar at the bottom of the page and put in the episode number or title so that you can see, and if depending on how soon you listen to it, it's going to be one of the first four. So you'll be able to just see it on the homepage and just click on it there so that you can see the videos and some of the photos from the trip. And I hope you guys enjoy that content as well. See you guys next week. Bye.